Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Catholic Doctors, discussing medicine in light of church teaching. And now, The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome to The Catholic Doctors Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. This is your co-host in studio, Dr. Michael Parker, with Dr. Will Turek. Will, how are you today?
I am doing just fine.
Well, it's good to see you.
It is good to see you. Yeah. You know, I mean, we've been kind of missing each other sometimes, and we get each other.
I don't think we ever miss each other. We just haven't seen each other.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe there isn't a lot of missing on either one of our parts. I don't know, but I consider you my good friend.
And I also, like
a brother, I love you.
And I agree with you there. I'm not going to argue with you on that one.
On the air. My taller brother with hair, so.
twin brothers of different mothers.
Exactly.
As they say. Well, you know, it's springtime and soon summer's going to be coming up. And you know what summertime means?
Baseball,
hot dogs, apple pie, and
mom.
Mosquitoes.
That's right.
Right.
But not that, well, yeah.
No, mosquitoes, you got to be worried about them here in Central Ohio for certain, diseases.
West Nile, St. Louis encephalitis and all this other baloney.
Right. But what's getting more and more attention in the national news and in the world news is actually the Zika virus infection from South America and in the Latin countries.
And, you know, as every good liberal will say, never let a good crisis go unused, right?
Right, and as we're going to discuss, never let a good crisis go to waste.
That's it.
Rahm Emanuel.
I almost had it right.
Yeah, okay. You almost had it right. Jeez, I feel like I'm in a crisis mode right now. you know, the Zika virus is come to the attention, and it should be something that Catholics should be discussing when they're talking about this, and that's because the Pope made some rather controversial statements on his way back from South America after celebrating Mass at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Yeah.
We'll go over that, but also because of what's being pushed by the World Health Organization and some other international health organizations for South America with regards to family planning and abortion.
Well, I think in order to set up the topic, we need to define our terms.
Sure.
So, I mean, every good medical lecture always, not that this is a medical lecture, but always starts with anatomy, right?
Sure.
So, basically.
The anatomy of the disease.
Sure,
sure. Well, let's talk about that.
So, Zika virus is a flavivirus.
Right. It's not a Hyundai car. It's a virus.
It's a flavivirus.
Right. It's a flavivirus. And it's spread by a certain type of mosquito that's native to South America.
Correct.
And it's something that's been around for a while.
Yep.
But it's just recently got more attention.
Correct.
And the reason it's gotten more attention is because there have been an increase in the number of cases of microcephaly or a small circumference, head circumference in children in Brazil.
Right.
Okay. More so than what they've seen before.
Caused by this infection.
Associated with.
Okay.
And as I found out in giving a deposition for a legal case, you know, those are strong words.
Yeah.
Cause and association are not necessarily
association
the same
doesn't
thing.
Necessarily mean that it
caused it.
It caused it, but right. It could have.
But because it has been found in some patients who have the microcephaly and in the pregnant women who carried them, that they're creating this, there is an association with it. And
correct.
So now they're trying to say that we need to do more to either prevent the Zika virus infection, especially in pregnant women or in women who are wanting to conceive.
Right.
And also that if a mother is found to be infected with the Zika virus, that she consider termination of the pregnancy.
Termination, yes. And certainly if you're in childbearing years, using any form of contraception to avoid pregnancy is so to not transmit this virus.
Right. So, you know, let's talk about the Zika virus. We mentioned it's a flavivirus, which is just a different type of virus. You know, it's a classification of a family of viruses. And it is spread through the mosquito, but it can also be spread through sexual contact with men who either have had the disease or have been exposed to the virus.
Right. And you know, we should be careful about our you know, because this is a family program, but it is found, the RNA of the Zika virus is often found in the sperm of men who've been infected.
Right.
Some symptomatic, some asymptomatic. In other words, right. those who've had the disease, right. the rash, the fever, the conjunctivitis, mm-hmm. the eye irritation, and that sort of thing, they've exhibited the symptoms of this illness, and then they have this in their sperm.
Right, and it's been found to stay in the semen or in the sperm for up to 12 weeks, 11 to 12 weeks. And so that will get into the recommendations. But you mentioned what the common symptoms are for Zika virus mm-hmm. infection, and that is that they get kind of like, you know, a fever, rash, joint pain, and the inflammation of the eyes or conjunctivitis. But surprisingly, more than 50% or over half of the people who have Zika virus are asymptomatic.
That's right. That's right. That's very common in a lot of viruses. I mean, the cold virus, people are exposed to things all the time, or hepatitis. I mean, people have gone decades without having any symptoms of it, and yet then they draw blood and lo and behold, they have it.
Right.
So that's, you know, something that we have to make a distinction of, is that, you know, I mean, we can't test every possible person who could, you know, be exposed. Although, I mean, I'm sure that there's a push for that.
There's recommendations out there for screening women, especially reproductive age women, who either live in areas where the Zika virus is endemic, or if they've had exposure to men or have traveled themselves to areas that have the Zika virus present. And you know, that screening can involve blood tests, or it can just involve questioning as to, you know, when were you exposed? How long ago were you exposed? Did you get any, were you stung by a mosquito, or what kind of precautions that you took?
You know, and the interesting thing is that, you know, I mean, Brazil is kind of in the epicenter for this at the end of 2014, and then the beginnings, and then towards the fall of 2015 is kind of when this has all been percolating. But a lot of the information that you and I looked at before the show talked about Puerto Rico.
Right.
You know, and as a commonwealth of the United States, I mean, this has kind of been the entry point for a lot of the Zika virus, infections and things like that.
Right. Well, they think the Zika virus has been around for a while, but they think the increased prevalence of it may have come from the World Cup soccer that was held in Brazil a couple of years ago.
Right.
And you know what's coming up in the future, and this is another big concern, is we've got the Olympics coming.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, this is something that they're taking very seriously. And so, you know, like we said, you can get the symptoms, but, you know, once you've been to these countries, or if you've been bitten by a mosquito, the incubation period can be anywhere from 3 to 14 days before you notice symptoms. And so these people who are going to these countries or live in these countries or whatever, they may be infected, not know about it, engage in relations and become pregnant.
Yep.
And that can have some serious consequences. And, you know, once they do show those signs or symptoms of the disease, you know, the virus can be active within the blood system of those infected for a week, mm-hmm. with the longest time that we've seen published in the literature being 11 days. And so you have to be concerned that during that time period of the illness, if should you become pregnant, you could be spreading this to the infant.
Right. Well, and the interesting thing is that, and maybe you can correct me on this, is that as we were reading through this stuff, women have a less of a they have to refrain from getting pregnant less for a less period of time than men, who actually the length of time that they could infect is longer.
Right. So if a woman is exposed through a mosquito bite or something like that, the recommendation is that they wait at least 8 weeks.
Correct.
Before attempting to conceive. If you're a man, though, because of the fact that RNA has been found in the semen for several weeks afterwards, or for several, you know, for up to 12 weeks,
right.
They're looking at three times the duration.
Correct.
That they found that. So men should wait at least 6 months.
6 months.
Before contemplating pregnancy with their partner.
Right. Now, I mean, and this is all great information, because I think that a lot of people, you know, they hear of a new virus, Ebola or whatever, and they kind of get the deer caught in the headlights look. They're like, oh, right. My gosh, you know, the world's coming to an end. We need, you know, the World Health Organization to help us, enlighten us or whatever. But in the end, really, you know, we just need to take a step back, take a deep breath, and look at the raw data from, you know, the CDC, the Center for Disease Right. Control, and they are usually very sobering in their analysis of these sorts of things. So it's always Sure. helpful to read that MMWR that comes
Sure.
out
Sure.
every week.
And that does come out every week, and you know, they've been updating this almost on a weekly basis
yeah.
as we learn more and more information
Absolutely.
About the Zika virus and its infection. And probably the biggest concern as we have is the asymptomatic patients.
Absolutely.
We don't have any data on the risk of transmission in asymptomatic males and females. So,
right.
again, we're going back to an exposure. If you were in one of these countries or you were exposed potentially to this, then they're still recommending possibly 8 weeks for females and 6 months for males
right.
before contemplating pregnancy, which brings up some definite concerns. Now, you mentioned the CDC data, and the CDC data on you know, the diagnosis, the transmission, and the epidemiology of the Zika virus is solid data.
Yeah.
What starts to come into question is the association of Zika virus with microcephaly. And before
small
we get
head,
to yeah, let's
babies.
Talk about what microcephaly is.
Sure.
You know, because this is a term that people may not understand, but micro meaning small, cephaly refers to the head.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, ultimately,
There's multiple causes for microcephaly.
There are. And I mean, this is one of these kind of things that, you know, when we're talking about this, you know, as you said earlier, I mean, causation is, you can't necessarily say that this is an absolute cause for microcephaly. We have seen this, you know, in babies down in Brazil and in other countries in South America, but it's not something that we can absolutely say with certainty that this is what the cause is, but we think that it's possible. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why you can have a small skull. You know, there's multiple genetic abnormalities, trisomy 18, which means you have three number 18 chromosomes, trisomy 13, which is also the three chromosomes of number 13, Creed-Schott, which is there's a genetic abnormality and it causes the baby to have a characteristic cry. You know, it's a French word that means the cry of the cat. It sounds like a cat. Down syndrome can actually have small heads as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, and rubella, which is German measles, toxoplasmosis, which is, you know, any house cats,
infections,
but, house cats yeah. and everything. So, I mean, there are a lot of ways that you can get microcephaly or
right.
small head.
And microcephaly in and of itself, when it's isolated, may not be so bad, but when there's other findings, such as calcifications within the brain or,
right.
or other findings.
Eye abnormalities.
Right, eye abnormalities. Then it may be associated with significant cognitive and mental impairment.
Right.
But it's not every case.
No. Yeah, I know? Mean, and that's something that we have to, when we're looking at this, we have to be very critical about what it is that's happening and, you know, whether or not there is true causation. So.
Right. You're listening to The Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. We're talking today about Zika virus infection that's affecting South America and could potentially come to the United States through transmission of people who travel to those areas. And there have been diagnosed cases here in Ohio, actually. But we're talking about what should be the church's response to this and how should we be handling this as Catholic physicians. And so as we get further into this discussion, Will, you know, We mentioned this several times, causation versus association. And I think I really want to hit this first before we move on to the other things. Causation means that is sort of like you have a black eye because I hit you with my fist.
Right.
We know that my fist caused your black eye.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you walk in with a black eye and I just happen to be in the room and you got the black eye, I may have been associated with the event that caused the black eye, but I didn't cause it.
Right.
Okay. And so what they're finding is that the level of risk of these adverse pregnancy outcomes, the microcephaly, miscarriages, birth defects,
intrauterine growth,
intrauterine growth restriction, and also it's been associated with Guillain-Barré. These are based. We don't know what the risk is currently. It's unknown, but we do it based on some retrospective studies that have come from the French Polynesia and from Brazil.
Where the virus has been around longer.
Right. And so what they have found in some of these areas, it was estimated that microcephaly affected approximately 1% of fetuses of infants born to women with the Zika virus. And from Brazil, what they found was that approximately 39% of women who had babies with microcephaly had evidence of Zika virus exposure. Okay, so right. That means 61% of those babies did not have Zika virus exposure. And so we suspect that there may be other causative factors for this increase in microcephaly within that area. And the risk of adverse to pregnancy outcomes associated with the maternal Zika virus infection around the time of conception is currently unknown. So when these women come in and they're just newly pregnant and they recently had an exposure, we don't know what it's going to do. Is it going to be an all or nothing type of response that we see with other exposures such as fecal alcohol syndrome or certain drugs or medications? Or is it going to be devastating to the baby?
We've set down a lot of very hard science here for our folks, but really, because we are, this is the Catholic Doctor Show, we need to introduce some of the moral issues with this, which is I think probably more important in some respects than the hard science, because viruses have been around for millennia. And how the human body responds to them is the same thing.
Here's the moral dilemma, and it is in the recommendations of the CDC, World Health Organizations, and other organizations, International Planned Parenthood Foundation. They're recommending that men and their non-pregnant sex partners, couples who want to reduce the risk of sexual transmission of Zika virus, should use condoms consistently and correctly during sex or abstain from sex. Okay. Yeah. The second thing that they're pushing for liberalization of abortion laws in South American countries where legalized abortion is rare and or not at all.
And these are Catholic countries that have resisted.
Predominantly Catholic countries.
Have resisted the push to allow for liberal abortion laws for obvious reasons, their convictions and their beliefs. But the fact of the matter is this is in essence a way in for the international lobby to get this sort of thing into these countries, and it's kind of a wink wink nod nod, you need this because it's really going to help you.
Well, we're creating a fear among pregnant women in these countries that their children are going to be 100% absolutely they're going to be affected by the Zika virus, and we've already talked about it. It's not an all or nothing thing. There's going to be a varying degree of women who are going to have a baby affected by microcephaly or other findings associated with the Zika virus. And, one article that I looked at even said that they've overdiagnosed the number of babies with microcephaly by almost 50%.
Yeah.
And so this epidemic may not be as much as it was. And the number of cases that were confirmed to be linked to Zika or other infectious disease may not be as strong as what they thought before. But still, it's present. So the moral dilemma comes up. What can these women do? They're predominantly Catholic countries where, contraception is not allowed. This probably would be a case where you could discern not to conceive at that time.
Correct.
And the
Which
Pope
would be a morally acceptable.
Would be a morally acceptable reason. It actually may be morally right for you to avoid pregnancy during these time periods. And so the response from the Catholic Church sounds a little bit confusing in that, on the Pope's way back from
Mexico City,
he was asked by a reporter whether use of contraception during the Zika virus outbreak might be a reasonable thing.
Right.
Okay. The Pope first off reiterated that abortion is not the answer to this
Correct.
Problem. And that's been reiterated. We'll go over that a little bit more. But the response was that avoiding pregnancy is not an absolute evil, and that in certain cases there may be some discernment, or maybe people may be led to discern for the use of contraception, such as condoms or a longer-acting reversible form of contraception in these cases.
Right.
He still didn't say it was morally licit.
No.
No. And he still didn't say it was the right thing to do.
Right.
And in fact, in the Catholic Church, probably the right thing to do is to abstain.
To abstain and wait until the period is over that, right. that is, you know, an acceptable risk.
Right. And why? Why is it more illicit to abstain versus to use these types of methods?
Because, well, the fact of the matter is every act of marital, you know, intercourse should be open to the transmission of life because that's the breath of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, but the thing is that, you know, there are plenty of situations, and that's why the Catholic Church asks all people, gay or straight or whatever, to be chaste, because we need that you know muscle, that we need that
sure.
Intestinal fortitude to not to be able to abstain when we need
it's out of respect for the dignity of the other human person.
That's correct.
Okay, and so let's look at this situation. Let's say that we do allow for contraception in these certain cases.
Mm-hmm.
What if it fails?
Yeah, then you're still forced.
We know from the American experiment with contraception that the Supreme Court has said you need abortion as a backup to the failure of contraception. So it gives these people a false sense of security that this is going to prevent them from ever becoming pregnant right. and not transmitting the Zika virus.
Right. Well, and Paul VI said a contraceptive society will ultimately become an abortive society. When your contraception fails, you will rely on that to get you your save your bacon. So.
Right.
I mean, that's it.
Well, speaking of Pope Paul VI.
Oh, speaking of that, I thought you might have something to say about it.
There was some reference given.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was by Francis or by somebody else in the plane on their way back
right.
about Pope Paul VI having legitimized the use of contraception by nuns in the Congo
right.
during a time of violence to avoid pregnancy.
Correct.
If they were raped.
Because they were being forcibly raped and,
right.
and so forth like that. And obviously there was no interest in transmitting life in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right. But the reality of it is Pope Paul VI never said that. these things. In fact, when that statement came out, he wasn't even the Pope.
Right.
That statement came from three theologians or people within the Vatican area or in Italy
mm-hmm.
Who hypothesized that this may be an appropriate thing to do.
Yep.
And again, he just happened to be associated with them. And so
conveniently
when he became Pope, people thought that he's the one who made the statement, and mm-hmm. it's been mischaracterized. So the church has not changed its teaching on contraception.
Nor will it.
For this specific matter.
Correct.
And in fact, the more dignified thing or the greater good for the human person would be, out of respect for not only your partner, but also for the potential children that could be conceived through this act, to abstain during this
time period. And the thing is that, you know, there's a lot of Brazilian women who are now asking for chemical abortifacients,
right.
out of some companies in Canada and so forth like that. The thing of it is that, okay, so let's assume the worst case scenario. Okay, you're a woman of childbearing age. You're recently pregnant. You're, say, 7, 8, 10 weeks pregnant, okay? And you know that you've gotten the rash. You've gotten the joint pains and so forth. And, say you've gone to your doctor and you've actually had the serum test to find out that, yes, you have been exposed to Zika virus. Okay, what should your response be? And I would suggest, and I think you'd agree with me, is that you carry this baby because, number one, there's good data to show that you could not, you know, be
affected.
That your child might not be affected. And what's more is, even if they are affected, why are we going to punish that child
right.
in this situation?
Right. And the Vatican has come out forcefully against, you know, the abortion. It says abortion is not the issue. Not only is increased access to abortion and abortifacients an illegitimate response to this crisis, but since it terminates the life of a child, it is fundamentally not preventative.
Exactly.
So, you know, the Catholic Church stands strong in this, and it does care about these people there. And so they focus their efforts on prevention of transmission of the disease, but also, you know, natural family planning would work very well, especially for these people where we need to get access quickly.
Right.
We may not be able to get chemical contraception or long-acting reversible contraception to these people fast, but it's something that's going to be morally acceptable and ready to go.
Right.
So, and it's something that they can understand. And it has been taught in these areas for many years.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the Catholic Church is very concerned about this virus and the epidemic that is going on in Brazil, but they're taking the proper measures through their social organizations to help in the prevention, you know, preventing standing water, covering up your drains in the showers to prevent the virus from replicating in there, using netting, clothing that has DEET or other chemicals in it that are repellents to this, staying inside in air-conditioned areas, not going outside and being exposed. So, you know, it's a number of factors that need to be involved here, but the one thing that we need to remember is we do not necessarily need to impose the will of the Western world on these people who may not want what's being pushed on them because of an epidemic of Zika virus that may or may not be causative for microcephaly in these areas.
I mean, the thing of it is that, you know, these children who have microcephaly as a result of or possibly as a result of Zika virus, I mean, they're in the same situation as the woman who's been and I wouldn't say on a moral level, but the ones that have been raped. I mean, the fact of the matter is, do we want to punish the child as a result of the sins or suspected sins of you know, this mosquito or, and you know,
well, I don't know that I'd bring that rationale to bear, but I do think it's something that deserves our love and attention and understanding with these women, and they definitely need counseling regarding all of their options and what the potential outcomes could be.
Absolutely.
Well, I think it's a great show, Will.
Yeah.
If people are interested in more learning about the Zika virus, they can go to the CDC website. There's plenty of information there.
You bet.
You've been listening to The Catholic Doctors Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Until next week, we hope your week is happy, healthy, and holy.
God bless.
The Catholic Doctors is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek are available at stgabrielradio.com.